Thank you, John. Well, good afternoon, and I'll try to live up to that introduction. As John indicated, I'm an extension specialist with the University of California at one of the orphan campuses, not Davis, but Riverside. And Davis is known for, Riverside's here. Can't help it, I've graduated from Davis.
They're not here.
But anyway, at Riverside, we're known for our work on subtropical horticulture. So when I took the position down there, I started working on citrus and avocados. So I had been a fan as a child eating avocados and citrus, and then I had to learn something about them. So as John indicated, the official title of my talk is Harvesting, Shipping, and Handling Concerns in International Perishable Handling, but a more simplistic title would be What is Wrong with My Arrival? And that's what I'm going to try to address for the remaining part of this talk. So myself included as researchers, because of logistical issues related to doing research and funding, we tend to compartmentalize when we do our research. And most research will focus either on pre-harvest factors or handling and transportation or what happens at distribution or what happens at with the end user. And most research programs do not necessarily try to link all those together. And when you're dealing with arrival issues, especially with product that has moved internationally for maybe 3 or 4 weeks, you really have to take a holistic perspective because all these factors are playing a role in whatever problem or success that you encounter. And so as an extension specialist that work with growers, I'm constantly giving talks, trying to get growers to be more aware of what they do out in the field and how that influences the quality of the fruit, in particular citrus and avocados, on its way to the end user. So we normally think of the continuum going from the grower to the end user and as a sequential steps. However, for the purposes of this talk, when we're thinking about arrival issues and trying to figure out what causes problems at arrival, you have to actually think in reverse. And so it causes you to have a little bit of a mind shift. And I don't do too much international consulting, but I was very fortunate to have a fairly long relationship with a producer of avocados outside the U.S. And they were focused and concerned about all aspects. And it really was actually very educational to me and forced me to get out of the ivory tower and see real-world problems. So it was great. So when we're thinking about arrival problems, the point of arrival and distribution is normally where the problem is detected. And that is because usually there's an expediter or actually the person receiving the fruit will do an inspection of arrival quality. And so that's usually where the problem arises. It's seldom do you hear from the end user unless it's something like Tesco or one of these large chains in Europe who actually do their own quality inspection as well, and they may encounter some problems. So thinking in reverse, you have to think about what's contributed to the problem and assess the relative importance of each of these factors. So you need to think about distribution issues, transit issues, any issues related to the actual packing house, harvest issues, issues related to production practices, and because I work a lot with avocados and I have quite a bit of experience with avocados, I'm going to use avocados as an example for the remaining part of this talk so I can have some pretty pictures for you to look at, or maybe not so pretty pictures for you to look at, but some pictures to look at. So these are typical symptoms. These are actually taken from real-world arrival reports that I've had the privilege of seeing over the years. And so these are real live pictures from expediter reports and saying, why do we have these problems? So you have to, Pat Breck, Jeff Breck's brother, one time gave a talk at UC Davis about sleuthing out problems. And he basically said that trying to figure out what the problem is on arrival is like being a member of a CSI team, and that's really, really true. And I really like that analogy that Pac used. So in terms of avocados, you run into skin and peel issues, shriveling, physiological breakdown, aka chilling injury, premature softening, in some cases uneven ripening or failure to ripen, decay, and grade issues. So the grade issues are relatively easy to take care of, but we'll see. So when we're thinking about distribution issues and you get contacted, one of the most important things to know is what are the current market conditions? Is there currently a glut of a commodity or of a particular size? And just this morning I got a phone call from one of our avocado packers in California who is also importing fruit, and he says, you know, we got a problem, we're importing fruit, and you know, the market's not moving. We got inventory that's 60 days since it arrived. And from this particular country of origin, it's 3 weeks to get here. So all of a sudden, you're dealing with avocados that are 7 to 8 weeks old, been out of CA for 45 days or so. You know that they're not in very good condition. So that's very, very important, because a lot of times you can get phone calls or since I get emails through the UC Davis Post-Harvest Center, you get emails asking about avocados or citrus, and they're saying, yeah, you know, after the fact. And someone's trying to figure out, well, how do I get an insurance adjustment on this one? There's arrival delays, you know, like 5 or 6 years ago maybe. We had a strike at the port, and there were fruit coming in from Chile that actually sat on the boats at the port of entries for 3 weeks while they settled the so they had a three-week trip, and then they sat on the boat for 3 weeks. So you have arrival delays. Quarantine treatments. Sometimes commodities have to be treated with quarantine treatments. A good example is all fruit from Peru that goes to Chile on avocados have to be fumigated with methyl bromide to enter Chile. And that is not very nice when you're dealing with methyl bromide. Improper holding conditions at the port or in distribution. Temperature is the biggest culprit. And then sometimes packaging. If you're not good with temperature, and you have some packaging restrictions like pads or overwraps on the fruit, and the fruit warms up, that can cause a lot of problems down the road. So if you're thinking about distribution issues, some of the questions to ask is, when was the inspection made? At when the fruit was unloaded from the vessel? I'm going to be thinking of a shipment by sea, but this would be appropriate also by truck or by air, or on arrival to the distributor. And if you can get a copy of the inspection report, that is really, really helpful. And as they say, a picture says a million words. You can learn a lot, especially if you know what you're looking for. The country of origin is of importance. But a really important question to ask, if it's in a container, for instance, are there multiple grower lots in that container, or are all the fruit from a single grower? And a corollary of that question is, well, if it's from multiple grower lots, are all the fruit showing symptoms, or just one or two grower lots? And so that is very informative when you ask that question. How old is the fruit from harvest? Is a very, very important question. Corollary of that is, when did it leave the country of origin and arrival date? And you see, those are two very different things, because in some countries, the fruit may be packed and cooled and then held for an additional week to 10 days before it ever gets on the boat. When was it shipped to the distribution point, under what conditions? Controlled atmosphere or air, break bulk or container? What was the set temperature, and do the records reflect this? Sometimes it doesn't. And did the shipper actually, or the producer, put data recorders in the load, or are they, you just relying on the records of the shipping company? And then especially for avocados going into what they call ripe and ready programs in Europe, or ripe for tonight programs here, was the fruit waxed or treated with 1-MCP? Because this definitely will inhibit ripening, and I've run into problems where the problem is the fruit doesn't ripen when we put it in ethylene. And then you find out it was treated with 500 ppb of ethylene, MCP, and that's why it's not ripening. So when you're looking at the distribution chain then, if you're looking at these pictures, delays in handling and temperature at the point of disembarkation could have contributed to this. Delays temperature in ethylene could contribute to this. Long-term, a glut on the market, for instance. Temperature in ethylene definitely can contribute to softening of the fruit, and so forth. So now if we move over to transit issues, it's sort of the same with the transit time delayed. The temperature doesn't match the set points when you get the report. There's temperature fluctuations during transit. Establishment of controlled atmosphere was delayed. This is a common practice that the fruit can be loaded into a container, but the CA adjustments are not made until it reaches the port. And sometimes, like in the case of South Africa, that may be 5 or 7 days from the time that the fruit is actually loaded into the container and the CA can be established. Poor venting, or the venting doesn't work on the container. The product is not adequately cool before loading. Now you would say that's a packing house problem, but it's actually a problem for the in transit too, because if you load warm fruit onto a container, there's no way you're going to cool that product. Conversely, the container is not cooled before loading, and the container malfunctions, which sometimes happens. So the question is asked, how long did transit take? Were there any unexpected delays? Was the container reloaded, like in Panama? Because usually you'll see a temperature spike in the data recorders when the containers are offloaded and reloaded. Are there temperature records? A lot of times they're mysteriously missing. What kind of venting on the container? A lot of times they don't have that information. Or you get this percent, oh, it's 20% vented. Well, what does that mean? The type of CA used, because every shipping company has a little bit a different variation, and is there any chance of getting the CA records? And I would say good luck. That's very, very difficult to get that kind of information. So going back to this picture, these problems that are on this picture, transit issues that would contribute to it. So again, delays, temperature and cooling here, delays, temperature and ethylene here for this problem, and temperature and ethylene for premature softening of the fruit. And this picture, we don't have a really good data set on what is controlled atmosphere symptoms damage on avocados. I got this picture actually from Bruno De Felipe down in Chile, who has been doing some work. And typically on avocados, the neck of the fruit will fail to ripen and become discolored. We don't know if it's related to high carbon dioxide or low oxygen, but we know it's more or less related to CA. And temperature for this issue. And delays in temperature for that problem. So moving on to packing house issue, you need to look at packing line protocols. How do they pack the fruit? How rough is the line, et cetera. Temperature management before and after packing is crucial, especially if the fruit is going to be on the water for 3 or 4 weeks. Does the packing house have a quality control system that includes a library tray system that you can refer back to? And do they do maturity testing? That's very important on avocados. And what is the time interval between packing, cooling, and then cooling and shipping? So some of the questions you could ask. What is the time between harvest and packing? How is the fruit held during this interval? Are there any fruit coatings used on the packing line or waxing? How long before the fruit is shipped after packing? Do they monitor ethylene within the packing, cooling, and storage areas? A lot of people don't, but that's a mistake in my opinion. Is the fruit for mixed purposes stored in the same area? For instance, in one of the consulting jobs that I was asked to do, we went in and they had they mixed the fruit that was going to shipping to Europe with fruit that was destined for processing. And not only did they mix the fruit that was destined for processing, this fruit had already been treated with ethylene. And they were wondering why they had arrival problems. Is fruit for, so cooling systems, what is the half cooling rate? It's amazing, a lot of people don't know what their cooling rate is. They just say we put it in the cooler for 12 hours and we trust that it's cold when it comes out. What type of quality checks are conducted on the fruit? Is there a library tray system? That's very, very important so that you can say, look, you had a problem with this load getting into Europe or the United States. What does your reference library tray say? Is there a problem? And a lot of packers are in many countries pack their own fruit and they don't pack other people's fruit. And but other places they'll pack multiple grower lots, and so that's a good question to ask. So going back to the packing house now, back to this picture. In this case, these three top pictures is the Edinger variety, and I would tell the packing house, you have no business putting Edinger on a boat for 3 weeks. It's a fruit that, as an avocados go, has a very short shelf life, very sensitive, and very prone to problems. And so this was a, in digging deep into the problem that was here, it turned out there was a long delay in cooling the fruit. They didn't have the right temperature, and then they loaded the fruit onto the containers warm because they didn't properly cool the fruit. Here, this problem is due to rough handling in combination with temperature. Here, it obviously is a grade issue in terms of grading fruit out. Cooling temperature ethylene at the packing house can play a very important role. Again, delays cooling temperature and ethylene here for internal breakdown of the fruit and decay. And this is a Forte variety, and you can see those little black dots up there on the top of the fruit. This is called pulp spot, and it only fortunately occurs on the Forte variety, although I saw it once in halves. Just once in 30 years I've seen it on halves, but it is very common, a common problem in Forte, and it's called pulp spot. And so it's related to this variety. It's related to how it delays in cooling and also holding temperature. So finally, we move on to the orchard. So fruit maturity. Avocados are harvested typically over a long period of time. The Hass variety can be, depending on where it's grown in California, we harvest a particular grove between, let's say, February and August. The grower comes in and we'll do multiple harvests based on size usually. General tree health and care is an important role. A lot of work has been done on this in recent years in Australia, led by Peter Hoffman, and also by Bruno De Felipe in Chile, funded by the avocado growers down in Chile. Water quality and quantity plays a role, and a very nice piece of work that was done many years ago was by John Bauer in South Africa. Weather conditions at the time of harvest. Very nice work done by, well, now I'm having a senior moment, I can't remember. Done in both New Zealand by Kerry Everett and also by Peter Hoffman in Australia. Fruit handling systems at the time of harvest. How do they move the fruit out of the field when they harvest, and holding conditions in the field? So some of the questions to ask then, are the trees water stressed, or are the fruit when they're harvested overly turgid? What is the general condition of the trees? Is there a relationship to the time of day when the fruit is harvested, and that goes back to fruit turgidity? What is the orchard row conditions and how the fruit is transported within the field into the packing house? And a very good example of that is I went down to Chile for another reason, but I went to visit an avocado grower. He was having very bad problems with fruit arrivals in both Europe and the United States with lenticel damage. And I went out to the grove where they were picking, and we were standing like 3 or 4 rows in from the field row where they were bringing fruit down on this hillside that was like this. And the tractor driver was driving very fast on this very rough road, and when the guy drove by, you could see the fruit bouncing, literally 3 or 4 inches up in the air. So road conditions are very important. And actually, I worked with someone else, and we made a recommendation. They put bin covers on to immobilize the fruit, and that problem didn't completely go away, but it was largely reduced. This last question is very important. Is there a good communication between the packing house and the field because of this delay issue? So now if we go back to this picture, maturity plays a very important role in problems with Edinger. Maturity, again, on terms of what this is called, lenticel damage, black spot, mancha negra, depends on where you are in the world. It goes by different names. Cultural care, obviously. Maturity plays a very important role in softening of avocados in transit after harvest. And again, delays temperature, maturity, and cultural care, because very mature fruit and very immature fruit tend to have be more prone to problems with chilling injury and decay. And then finally, with the Forte, you can see cultural care is listed here in those two places, in three places here. And that's because of this work that's been done by Bruno De Felipe and Peter Hoffman, and we've done a little bit of work in California showing the association of high nitrogen nutrition in the field and premature fruit softening and susceptibility to internal chilling injury. So can you come to any conclusions when you're faced and you start doing this sleuthing? And the contributing factors are obviously very complex. The problems do occur along the way. They are sequential and they are cumulative. And the key challenge when you're trying to help someone figure out what went wrong is deciding how each step in the handling chain contributed to the final outcome. And so with that, coming to conclusion, this is the second to the last slide, I think it's very important to know your commodity and the limitations of that commodity. And you need to know the literature, and you need to have a good working relationship with anybody who works in the post-harvest handling of that commodity and anybody who does pre-harvest work. I think that's absolutely critical. Definitive answers are elusive, and I think it depends on who you're working for. If you're working for the shipping company, you're working for the grower, or you're working for the distributor, and I try to stay away from all those things and just try to give general answers. Then it stays being a lot of fun. I don't make any money, but it stays being a lot of fun. And there's always something new to learn. And you have to have a very open mind, because sometimes you're surprised. More than just sometimes, quite often. And I think the key to diagnosing is that you have to ask a lot of questions. You really have to interrogate along that chain, because some people don't think that certain pieces of information are important, and so you have to ask the same question over and over again in different ways until you get the information that you really want. So with that, I want to thank you for your attention, and I also would like to thank Carvey Eckstein. He is a retired technical manager for the South African Export Quality Control Board. I've done consulting with him, and he's an expert on logistics. I don't pretend to be. Zafina Rubio Ames, who's in the audience here, who is now a graduate student at the University of Florida. Her colleague, Guillermo Espinoza. And Deirdre Holcroft, who is a post-harvest consultant based out of Davis. Thank you very much.
Have any questions from Meredith?
Yes.
How do you determine harvest maturity?
And avocados, now harvest maturity is based on oil content. So in the mid-1980s, actually going back to the 70s, there's a paper from New South Wales talking about perhaps using dry weight as an indicator for maturity, but that paper never really went anywhere until the 1980s, when in California we were using oil content. And The reagents that were used for the oil content were deemed carcinogenic, so they were withdrawn with the from the market. And so this paper from Australia was resurrected, and Soo Koon Lee, who's a researcher now in Korea, he was doing his PhD at Riverside at the time, and he did a bunch of work. He used sensory panels and did a lot of work on fruit maturity, physiological disorders. And that research team came up with the idea of actually using dry weight. And so dry weight is the standard around the world, although people still, some countries like Chile will report it in oil. They do a conversion, because for every variety you can come up with, since there's such a good relationship between oil and dry matter, some people use this formula and convert it back to oil. In South Africa, they don't talk about dry matter. They talk about water content. So they report everything on water content. But basically what we do in California is we take an equatorial plug from the widest portion of the fruit, and I won't go into all the gory details of the research that allowed us to conclude that we could do that, but you do that. And you take these two plugs, you remove the skin and the seed, and the seed coat, and you have these two plugs of tissue. You put them in a microwave for about, the fast way is to put it in a microwave at about 30% power for about 25 minutes. and you do that until constant weight, and it's really a better thing is a dehydrator or drying oven, but commercially that's what they use, is the microwave. Yes, Liz.
You didn't mention flavor or texture problems, but how does temperature delays and all that affect that kind of thing?
Well, unfortunately, I think in this big picture that I showed, people aren't really concerned about flavor. The flavor comes more like at Tesco and those. They do taste panels. We have a new avocado variety actually being shipped to from South Africa to the UK, being marketed by Tesco. And they've been doing a lot of taste panels, proprietary taste panels, and also looking at shipping conditions to reach that balance of the proper shipping condition that gets the fruit in good condition to Europe and also gives the highest flavor. So, but most time people are just concerned with how it looks, the cosmetic. But I agree, taste is important.
Yeah.